Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The new Lakers, Andy, look just like the old Lakers, and that is not a good sign. They lose in Denver. They're 0-4. That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Frankly, Andy, the Lakers ought to be giving their product away for free when they come back to Staples Center this weekend. Crypto.com this weekend, because
I imagine Crypt right now would prefer you call it Staples. They don't want to be associated with this team.
I can't imagine. Like, I do wonder if just like, there's something metaphorically appropriate about the Lakers now playing in an arena named after cryptocurrency, because it's not going well for that either.
No,
the Lakers drop their fourth straight game. They've only played four. I guess the season starts Friday, Andy. 110-99, the final score in Denver. It was a tied game at halftime, but man, the game got away from the Lakers in the third quarter. Particularly, there is very little that is encouraging to pull out of this game. Lakers fans, Andy, had high hopes because Russell Westbrook wasn't going to play, that maybe that would be the thing that turned around. You sent out the meme, delightfully photoshopped, of Russell Westbrook drinking the tea. They looked exactly the same. The Russell stuff made no difference in terms of what the problems were for this team.
No, Russell Westbrook becomes the Lakers' Richard Nixon. You won't have him to kick around anymore, at least for one game. And in terms of the issues the Lakers dealt with over the course of this loss, it really was, in a lot of respects, similar to what has happened in every game. The offense just cannot get going on a consistent basis. They cannot find they can find maybe a source of third scoring. In this case, it was Lonnie Walker, though his 15 points were on 14 shots. So it wasn't exactly the most efficient showing from Lonnie Walker, though in that sense, beggars can't be choosers, because nobody else was really able to step up with scoring. The outside
shooting, I believe they say it was the third game out of four, sorry to interrupt you, where they only had three guys in double figures.
Yeah. The outside shooting remains abysmal. To put in perspective, Brian, just how bad this
team is. I know where you're going.
Shooting the three.
Yes.
They shot 26.7% from behind the arc, 8 of 30, which 30 by NBA standards today on the low side. For the folks out there screaming, why don't they just shoot fewer? We see you, John Ireland. They did that. By NBA standards, they shot very few. It didn't help. 26.7, Brian, is still god-awful, and that is the best game they've had this season.
It's the season high. I saw that the first thing I noticed in the box score is that they shot 26.7% from three, and that's their best this year.
Okay, this was great. After the game, because I pointed that out at Cam Brothers on Twitter, that this is how bad they are, 26.7% tonight. That's their best showing in a game this season. Patrick Beverley afterwards said, in trying to talk about how things can get better, will get better, quote, "I think we were shooting 20%, and today we shot 26%, so we got better." Like, that was with a straight face. I watched him. There was no, like, wink, wink. There was no smirk. There was no anything. Like, that was him actually forced to try to make such a cockamamie point, because that's how bad things are going right now for the Lakers.
I mean, look, it's four games, and I was thinking, watching Jamal Murray, I think we'll talk about Kendrick Nunn. If not on this show, we'll certainly get into him before the end of the week. because he remains a complete tire fire.
Oh, he wants Russ's hamstring to improve really fast, because the longer that guy sits, the more people are going to notice, man, Kendrick Nunn has been terrible.
Yeah, and so, you know, although he was a plus nine, Andy, in Wednesday's loss.
Russ has been his meat shield.
Jim Bust Genie. So, you know, there are, you know, watching Jamal Murray, for example, you know, made me think a little bit about maybe reasons I might have been too quick to say, you know, Kendrick Nunn's going to make a huge impact right away with Jamal Murray coming back from a year-long injury, struggling a little bit and all that. I the amount of stuff through four games that I just have been wrong about with what I thought this team would be, I thought they'd be able to score. You know, I thought they would, you know, Kendrick Nunn would be a productive player. I thought, you know, that they'd find ways to put the ball in the basket. I didn't think it'd be a good three-point shooting team, but I thought they'd be better than this. And meanwhile, I thought they'd struggle defensively, at least initially. And I'll be honest with you, that's one thing that they've done pretty well. Even in the third quarter when Denver ran up 32 points, that was, to me, was inept offense, you know, against a good team.
Well, you can only
be inept for so long before a pretty good team, and I know Denver's been struggling, but a pretty good team is going to make you pay for inept offense.
Well, Denver in particular was really looking to make the Lakers pay with, you know, not just turnovers, but especially missed shots. They were really looking to get out in, at minimum, semi-transition on pretty much every miss, looking to leak out and looking to scramble the Lakers' defense. Because like you said, the Lakers' defense is, particularly when they've been able to get set and organized,
yeah,
and if nothing else, able to communicate better, has been surprisingly good. Like, you know, they don't project on paper to be as good as they've had.
I think they came into the game fourth in the league
in
terms of efficiency. Again, small sample, but I wouldn't have expected that.
Right, and Denver went out of their way to look to try to keep them as disorganized as possible. I think very much as a strategy, there were a few times where they got baskets just because they got behind the Laker defense and guys weren't sure where to go. It also just gets, after a while, and this is something we've talked about before, Brian, and this is a danger for this team, even with them, I think, for the most part. Darvin Ham, afterwards, Anthony Davis talked a little bit about needing to make sure that you don't let things get you down. But for the most part, I think they've done a pretty good
job.
We'll
take care of that. Lakers Nation is way down right now.
Well, but I mean in terms of making sure it doesn't affect your effort level and your focus and your intensity. And I think there's a sense of just there is only so long you can keep up this level of defensive intensity and focus without some type of scoring. Like, defense is the stick. Offense is the carrot.
Yes.
They need some carrots.
Yeah, you know, to quote Pink Floyd, if you don't eat your meat, can't have any pudding. You know what I mean? And I just, there are so many things about this game that when you start to break down the box score, they're downright disturbing.
They still can't rebound?
No. They, you know, I will say, you set yourself up to be out rebounded when you shoot the ball as badly as they have. But yes, they're still struggling to rebound. They were out rebounded by seven or eight, it looks like, in this game. And you know, you look around the box score, and one thing that sticks out is just how badly the starters were dominated. Anthony Davis was a minus 22. Austin Reeves in 26 minutes was a minus 23. Lonnie Walker in 30 minutes was a minus 27. LeBron and Pat Beverly in their minutes were minus 7 and minus 9, respectively. Like, the stats for the Nuggets as a starting lineup are downright gaudy. And, you know, you look at the shooting. The Lakers didn't turn the ball over much. They're only 14 on the night, but man, that third quarter and fourth quarter when they wanted to try to make a comeback, they were badly timed. They could have had more.
That's the other thing. They could have had more than 14 turnovers. LeBron had 8 himself. You know, we'll get into this probably after the next break. LeBron was wild in this game. This was uncharacteristically wild.
Let's talk about that, because LeBron wasn't good. And Anthony Davis, who played 36 minutes, put up 22, 14, 5, 3, and 2. It wasn't like he was a non-factor in this ball game. 11 of 19 shooting, is clearly not healthy. So a lot that we need to get into. We'll do it next.
All right, Laker fans, have you signed up yet for Prize Picks? And if you haven't, get on it, because this is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market, more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer all the superstar players as well as bench players that only get a handful of minutes each game. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections and you pick correctly, you can win up to 10 times the money on any entry. And Prize Picks offers projections for any sport that you watch, and we mean any. NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, Eurobasketball, cricket, and what, Brian?
Disc golf.
Yeah.
I respect golf. Anybody who's making their Prize Picks, selections on disc golf, mixing your prop bets and your prop operators, going disc golf and LeBron. Like that's every night I'd be doing disc golf and LeBron. That's it.
Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. And
who are you? I want to meet
seconds
you.
Or less. It's really easy, safe, fast withdrawals. And if you download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com right now, play these daily fantasy sports for your first time, you can receive a 100% instant match deposit up to $100 using the promo code LOCKEDON. So deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. And don't forget to use, though, that promo code locked on at the sign up to get that instant match. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
Okay. We still got some Westbrook stuff to talk about in terms of what the Lakers do next. Some reporting on that, from Stephen A. and from Woj over the course of Wednesday afternoon. So we'll talk about that. But, thinking more about, really what stuck out in this game was just how similar the Lakers looked without Westbrook as they have with him through three games. And, the pressure that is on the Lakers stars to be perfect every night is just
perfect.
That was well done. I see what you did there. AD was good in this game. He was active. He was working hard. He was doing the best he could.
Yeah, he had a stronger first half than the second half. And the second half is, we're going to get into this, clearly where he was physically laboring and in a lot of discomfort with a back issue.
We have seen this kind of pop up. We've seen moments where he looks uncomfortable. He fell on his, like all this stuff. And he is gamely trying to make his way through it. But I will say part of the thing happens is like he's slightly diminished, defensively. Nikola Jokic is no joke. I think we can all agree he's a joker, but he's no joke. He was a monster on Wednesday, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, 7 of 7 from the line, 12 of... Nice game. If you drafted Nikola Jokic in your fantasy team, you're happy. And his stats certainly dwarf AD's, but... Setting that aside, like you look at the back injury and what this is doing, like one free throw, like that to me is related. Like when you start to see a guy who has been able to be a little bit more forceful, that like just can't do it. Like if you start to chip away, even if he can play, if you chip away at his ability to get to the line, now he needs 19 shots, an efficient 19 shots to score 22 points. LeBron wasn't very good by LeBron's standards. 8 turnovers is obviously too many, but
it
still
could have been more. It actually really could have been more.
Absolutely. Still put up 19, 7, and 9, but like they are so inept offensively that if those guys aren't money, like an efficient 30 points every night, right now they cannot win. They cannot score enough.
There's two things that I noticed in terms of LeBron, AD, and the offense overall. First of all, some of those turnovers for LeBron came specifically while running LeBron and AD pick and rolls. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, you can see why they are really trying to lean into that because that is likely their best option right now while nobody
and often can shoot. Works really well. I mean, it's that is a great PNR combination.
Yeah, I mean, you can do a hell of a lot worse than LeBron and AD running pick and rolls as your foundation. But on a night where, you know, LeBron's handle is loose, his passes are a little risky, and frankly, Denver figured out what the hell they're going to do because they're running one play. You start running into problems. There were also
this picture of like running it with like the next time they come down, they all put on like fake mustaches and run the same play. Then they wear a wig and run the same play. Like they have one thing.
There was also too early in the game, I noticed, because the Lakers had, I think they had four or six turnovers. I can't remember in the first quarter, but they had at least four plus a few other near turnovers. And a lot of them came as they were trying to force the ball inside for obvious reasons. They can't hit outside shots and they can be good and very effective at the rim. But especially when this stuff is happening from the half court, it just becomes so predictable what you're going to be doing. You're just trying to force the ball into a packed paint. Like that can be really dangerous. Like there is a reason that they have to take a requisite amount of threes beyond trying to keep up with the score. Like you have to have some variance. Like if you're doing the same thing over and over, the other team is going to be able to figure it out. They're going to be able to.
And they're too easy to defend. And you know, they're too easy to defend because if you can't hit an outside shot, obviously everybody knows what you want to do. A guy like, you know, Lonnie Walker, who is very effective at the rim, well, okay, we'll keep him away from it. Like, you know, Walker made a couple really acrobatic and athletic shots in this game, but he was also one of six from three-point range. And so, and that one came in the first quarter. It was like, you know, so if you know that's not going to work, you can make his life difficult. It's actually kind of impressive. He finished 5 of 9 from two. But like you can only generate so much offense from your defense. And, you know, Denver only turned the ball over 11 times. Like if the other team said, you know, like the scouting report for the, you know, to play the Lakers right now is take care of the ball. Don't do anything risky. Don't do anything crazy. Get back on defense so you can set up. And if you do that and you can limit LA's fast break points, they cannot score enough to beat us. And, you know, I think you talked about it earlier, you know, before in our predictions, like, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, maybe even more than that per game. Lonnie Walker has given them, I think, more or less from a points per game standpoint, as much as you could ask for, but it's not, you know, it's by Lonnie Walker standards efficient, but not by most people's. And he's taking 6 3-pointers a game and he's shooting 17.5% from three. Like Patrick Beverley has offered nothing offensively. And I understand he's not a, you know, a guy you want to be, but like, you know, there's a big difference if you need a guy to score 10 or 11 points a game and he's only producing 7 or 8. And if everybody on the roster is like that, and currently that's what it is, they can't score enough to win. I can't tell you how surprised I've been at just how bad it's been offensively. I didn't think they'd be like a juggernaut, but I thought they'd be able to score.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it is even with all of, you know, the pessimism and the concerns that we had for the outside shooting because they shot really poorly last year from outside and the moves they made this offseason didn't really project to make that better. I mean, frankly, Kendrick Nunn in a lot of respects was kind of like their new guy there to make outside shots. Like his last full season, his second year in Miami, his catch and shoot threes improved a lot. Yeah. Like he shot something like 41, 42% specifically with catch and shoot threes. And he was very good above the break, which could have been useful for the Lakers because it could allow some of the other guys who weren't as established to take those corner spots. And Kendrick Nunn theoretically could still space the floor. And at least early in the preseason, he looked good. Kendrick Nunn actually looked good.
And, you know, I think that's why I didn't think about the, you know, I mentioned the year-long layoff and, like, guys haven't played a lot. But Jamal Murray, who, by the way, is a keeper on my fantasy team, so I'm watching him closely. He's just, he looks like a guy who's coming off a big injury and hasn't played. And I think maybe we underestimated how hard it would be for Nunn when the real games began and people turned it up a little bit. Like, maybe, but he's still, nonetheless. And look, like, they could turn this around. And I think they're not going to shoot 22% from three all year. Guys are going to get better.
Well, Patrick Beverly noted they're improving, Brian.
Brian, that's true. They're going to have games where they hit 35, 36, you know, 41. Like, it will happen. The question is, how far down in the Western Conference are they going to be when it does? Because
and what is AD going to look like at that moment? Because he is already, you know, he took a shot in the back in this game. And remember, AD was having back issues in the preseason. He missed a couple games over that. And, you know, to his credit, AD has clearly been looking to stay on the floor. And, you know, there's been a couple games where he's had physical limitations that he's playing through that, again, kudos to him for doing it, but you can see where he's laboring. The second half of this game, AD trailed off because he obviously just was not physically right. He said he's going to be available for Minnesota. He said he's going to play.
He's going to try, but like, what do you, because if you take him off the floor and he can't play and it's just LeBron, it's like,
we saw that. We saw that last year. We know what that looks like.
I know how this movie ends. And like, you look at the Western Conference and the Lakers are 0-4. They and Sacramento are the only winless teams. And they played a hard schedule? Yes. Portland is 4-1. They lost on Wednesday, but you know, they're playing quite well. And, you know, New Orleans is off to a good start. They won the other night without Zion and Brandon Ingram in the lineup. And Utah is going to fade at some point, but right now is playing very well. And the Lakers get them twice, like in the next week and a half or whatever it is. Like, where are they going to be? Even the Spurs, who I think they see relatively early, are competitive right now. And if it takes 15 games for them to kind of find their legs and find an offense, they could be completely buried by then. So we can talk about that, and then let's talk about the news around Westbrook, because there's still a ton to, on a very upsetting evening for Lakers fans to get into. We'll do it next. But I guess the next thing is really what to do with Russ. And the reporting is that the Lakers are going to bring him off the bench. They are preparing to do that if he's able to play Friday in Minnesota. And he is on the trip. He came into the game doubtful, obviously didn't play. You often don't go from doubtful with a hamstring to able to play in 2 days. But if he is available against Minnesota, Stephen A. Smith was talking about it. Woj was talking about it, that the plan would be to bring him off the bench and just make that move now. I'm not going to argue with him. I can't imagine why, if that's what you want to do, you would wait any longer. That's for sure.
No. I mean, first of all, I think it actually would be easier for Russ to make this move away from LA, like to do it for the first time, especially with, you know, the relationship he has with Laker fans, how much they've been on him, how, you know, how many times they've crossed the line in that bad relationship. I actually think it will be, although who knows, it's a Friday game. This one might be a nationally televised one, but there's at least going to be less local media, if nothing else. Yeah. There will be less local media traveling to Minnesota. So you rip the Band-Aid off on the road with relatively fewer questions, as low profile as anything involving Russell Westbrook and the Lakers can possibly be. But also, like you said, like, I can't imagine this isn't what they want to do. I mean, this is something that's been talked about as a possibility for a while. Frankly, if Darvin doesn't want to do this, I'm questioning why.
And, you know, the logic is let Russ, by really captaining that second unit. And again, it's not that cut and dried, because there are going to be minutes with LeBron. They're gonna, like, but broadly, to let him kind of captain that second unit, stagger his minutes with LeBron as much as possible, let him play more with AD, more with whoever else, you can give Westbrook more space to do the things that he does well. And I if there is a benefit to Wednesday's game, and you know, let's say he misses Friday, the Lakers lose again to Minnesota, which certainly could happen. You know, Minnesota's not played well, but they're still 3-2 and they're still a good team. And you don't need to be particularly good to beat the Lakers. The upside is it does sort of remove a little bit of that heat and that talking point of Russell Westbrook is the problem. And to whatever degree that weighs on Russ, to whatever degree that becomes a talking point where the Lakers feel like they're rolling their eyes every time one of us walks up to a player and 75% of the questions are about Russ. Let's say he doesn't play and they lose again on Friday, or even just with the results tonight. Like that, Russ didn't play. Then they got waxed again. So,
and look, this can't be emphasized enough. They looked basically the same. For right. all of Russell Westbrook's, you know, loud, you know, he's a loud player. Like his great plays are loud. His bad plays are loud. His mistakes are loud. Like I've said this many times, Russell Westbrook is the least subtle player in the entire NBA.
Yes.
And look, as much as he's been trying, I think, to focus defensively, like he's clearly been buying in there. I think he's been trying to take care of the ball better. Like he's been struggling to shoot, period. He's been struggling to score, period. And that stuff matters. And again, those misses are loud as hell. They still looked basically the same without him.
Exactly the same. And we were actually texting about this during the game. Like, if you're a Lakers fan looking for a silver lining here, it's that the offense cannot remain this bad. It cannot. Like, just sort of definitionally in the NBA, they are so far below. Like, Walker's not a good three-point shooter, but he's not a 17%.
Dude, the whole team. Right. Like, if the whole team could get to their collectively unimpressive career averages from behind the arc, they're a wildly different three-point shooting team.
Yes, and if they can become a merely competent offensive team, or how about just a bad offensive team? Because right now, I think going into Wednesday's game, I believe they were the worst team in the league.
They're staggeringly bad offensive.
And, you know, and Wednesday didn't help. So, I mean, I can look that up while we're talking, but it doesn't matter if they're 30th or 27th, but it's still bad. although I bet it's 30th with a bullet. They are actually forming a legitimate defensive identity. And yep. They, I think, can carry some of this through. It is not sustainable if Anthony Davis is hurt. There's a lot. I'm not saying that this is set in stone, but they are significantly improved over last year. And there's no reason to believe that can't be somewhat sustainable. So again, it's a question of there is a sort of path forward, but in a Western Conference where, you know, the Clippers haven't really started to get going yet. And if those guys are healthy enough to do it, obviously a good team. Golden State hasn't done much. Dallas hasn't done much. You know, it is so difficult in this conference if you fall behind early, and they are already behind. So yeah, I think if Westbrook plays, you bring him off the bench. I think, but like, it's very obvious. It should be very obvious that this is not Russell Westbrook is a problem. He is not the problem. Obviously, they have many.
I do think though that playing Russ, going to that move, I think can also be helpful. Beyond the fact that I think it would actually be better for Russ, I think he would actually benefit from him, and hopefully the team by extension would as well. I also feel like this is something that collectively the team is expecting to happen.
Yeah,
and they've been they've been waiting for the awkward moment. So let's just get the awkwardness over with. And I mean, look, I'm sure there are guys on this team bracing for the idea of what if Russ chafes against this and doesn't want to do it. And we got to deal with that. Okay. You know what? If that happens, better to just get it out of the way now.
Better on game five, game six, game seven, whatever.
Right, or longer. Like, you might.
No, I'm saying just better to get it. Why wait till game 17?
Right. Exactly. You might as well just deal, if it's going to be a headache, get the headache out of the way now so you can take whatever step comes after the headache quicker and just move the hell along with your so far miserable life.
I was correct. The Lakers came into Wednesday's game the worst offensive team in the league by a large margin.
It's not surprising.
A large margin. Again, small sample sizes. And they were the second best. You know how hard it is to be 0-4 when you're the second best defensive team in the league through three games?
Look.
Going into three, after three
games. Kudos to all of them for, Darvin Ham down for being much better defensively. They are a sum of their parts defensive unit because they don't project on paper to be this good.
Yep.
You don't want to see it go to waste because eventually they're going to tire of doing it.
Yeah. All right. So plenty more to talk about for Friday's show. There's some, trade talk. What can they do? What should they do? The anger is rising.
They're going to have to fake a third pick that they can trade.
It's worth a try. They're going to have to do something. They're going to get real creative. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, specifically on game nights, a little early. Love the support we've been getting there from all of you. Keep those comments coming. We weren't able to do it for this show, this post game, but we love to dip in there for inspiration, for if nothing else, inspiration for topics. And we like to pull your comments in when we can. And we will see everybody on Friday.